A Disambiguation of Elaine's by Raspberry Hunter. Read by Elaine of Shalott. Elaine Korbenik knows, walking into the lab, that it isn't going to be a good day. When is it ever a good day? She can tell by the grim set of Elaine Ostolat's mouth and the way Elaine Benwick has her arms crossed. They are glaring at each other with identical glares. "I'm just saying," Elaine Ostolat says, obviously restraining her temper with difficulty. "I don't see why we can't at least try an optimizing algorithm. It's just a routine animal gene mod," says Elaine Benwick disapprovingly. It's surprising, Elaine Korbenik often thinks, how different Elaine Ostolat and Elaine Benwick are, despite having exactly the same genetic heritage. E. Ostolat and E. Benwick, Elaine Korbenik names them in her head. E. Korbenik. Sometimes she likes to pretend none of them are Elaine clones, even though she has to be careful to say the Elaine part of the name when she speaks aloud. Elaine Garlow, whose name she can never bring herself to shorten, ridiculed her relentlessly the last time she left it off. She can never shorten the names, even in her head, when Elaine Garlow is around. "Not an excuse for you to experiment," says E. Benwick, crossing her arms. "What would the customer say if..." "It's not the customer," E. Ostolat snaps, exasperated. E. Benwick, even though she's a couple years younger than E. Ostolat, can always get E. Ostolat to lose her temper first. "The customer would like her puppy to have optimized genetic parameters. You're worried about Elaine Garlow." The usual complaint, then. E. Ostolat has been trying to get permission to apply her computational algorithms to the gene mod process for quite a while now. E. Korbenik is pretty sure that there's no real reason why not, except that Elaine Garlow won't let E. Ostolat have her own way. You'd think a progenitor would get along better with her clones, wouldn't you? She makes too much noise sitting down at her desk, and both E. Benwick and E. Ostolat turn on her. "And you," E. Benwick says severely, "you're late again, Elaine Korbenik." "Elaine Korbenik," E. Ostolat interrupts. "I've been asking and asking you to run those gene scans, and I noticed this morning they weren't done yet." Because E. Korbenik is the youngest, if only by a few years, the other clones think they can gang up on her. She doesn't say anything. It never makes it better. After a minute, E. Ostolat turns back to E. Benwick. "Anyway, you're still not listening to me. Now, maybe I should do it anyway, no matter what Elaine Garlow says." All three of them simultaneously look at the door of the lab. It is, after all, time for Elaine Garlow's morning visit to the lab, and if she heard E. Ostolat. Of course, E. Korbenik finds herself thinking, maybe Elaine Garlow is running late this morning. Perhaps... But no. The door is, in fact, opening, and Elaine Garlow sweeps into the lab. Her brown hair is fading into gray, and the lines on her face are more deeply etched than those on her descendants' faces. But it is clear that the Elaines are hers. Elaine Ostolat does not flinch. Elaine Korbenik does. "Elaine Ostolat," Elaine Garlow purrs softly, her lip curled. "Maybe you should do what, anyway, no matter what I say?" Elaine Benwick goes to stand by Elaine Garlow's side. She's bringing up the optimizing algorithms again, after I told her that you wouldn't hear of it. Elaine Garlow absently strokes Elaine Benwick's hair. "Really, Elaine Ostolat, my dear, having another little moment of rebellion?" Elaine Ostolat opens her mouth and shuts it again. Elaine Garlow walks to the computer, ejects the code chip with Elaine Ostolat's algorithms stored on it, and grinds it underfoot. Elaine Korbenik knows that, of course, Elaine Ostolat has backed up everything 5 times. Off-site backups. She hasn't lost anything irretrievably by losing the code chip. But Elaine Korbenik still sees her wince. It's a symbol and a reminder. Right after Elaine Korbenick moved from the creche to the lab, Elaine Astolat started screaming at Elaine Garlow over something no one can now remember. Elaine Garlow took all her computer hardware and smashed it with a hammer, and found the off-site backups and smashed them too, and wiped the network. Elaine Astolat has since rewired the system so that it's impossible to wipe the network without triple failsafes being triggered, and by now she probably has other precautions in place that Elaine Korbenick doesn't know about. Elaine Garlow, Elaine Korbenick often thinks but never says, is probably the reason that their lab doesn't have the reputation of the Guinevere Leodegrance lab or the Morgan Garlow Lefay lab, despite their gene work being at least as good. Who wants to send their gene mod work to a lab that might wipe all the information at a crucial moment? Elaine Korbenick goes into the bathroom later, examines her face. Blank. Devoid of all expression or personality. Nothing for Elaine Garlow, for any of them, to hold on to. Elaine Garlow says, "Well, children, I have something to tell you." Elaine Korbenick tries hard not to flinch, and mostly succeeds. Elaine Korbenick is the youngest, and she is herself no longer a child. When Elaine Garlow calls them children, it's not a good sign. She glances out of the corners of her eyes at Elaine Benwick and Elaine Astolat. Elaine Benwick frowns. Elaine Astolat looks resentful. Elaine Garlow continues, inspecting her carmine nails. "We're going to have a sibling made for you. Another sample to help in the lab. One who might be better than you failures is not said, but it might as well have been." "Another clone," Elaine Astolat demands. "No," Elaine Garlow smiles widely. "A sibling with new genetic material. A haplotype recombination. Like Morgan has, or Guinevere." This is worse than Elaine Korbenick feared. A sibling child, and not even a clone. Elaine Garlow must be disappointed in their work indeed, to introduce external genetic material into the line in hopes that it will improve things. Though why, after all, should she be surprised? Elaine Garlow has always followed the lead of the other, more famous labs. She's told them frequently, when ranting about why she made clones at all, that their zygotes were created around the time that Morgan Garlow Lefay, Elaine's sister, made her clone Morgose, and when Guinevere Leodegrance made her triad of Guinevar clones. And now that Morgan has 5 haplotype recombination descendants, and even Guinevere has the one descendant Guinefach, what should she have expected? And yet, part of her is curious. Who's the other haploid genetic donor going to be? "The Lancelot template," Elaine Garlow says smugly. There is a choked sound from Elaine Benwick. Elaine Garlow nods. "Yes, Elaine Benwick, the template you worked on. I had a vid convo with Guinevere, who is being gracious enough to lend him back, and is sending one of her Guinevar clones with him to help us." The unspoken addendum here. Guinevar will show the Elaines how a real clone ought to act. Elaine Korbenick hates her already. Yet Elaine Korbenick is also reluctantly interested. Even if Guinevar is insufferable, it will be interesting to meet a clone from another lab. Genetic labs tend to be self-contained environments, and certainly Elaine Garlow has never allowed them to go off-site. Elaine Korbenick has never traveled away from the lab, has never met another clone. And the work sounds interesting as well. Most of their work is with animal gene mods, for research purposes or for rich aristocrats with money to burn. Human gene modding might be exciting. She sees that Elaine Astolat, too, has a look of interest on her face instead of her habitual sullen anger. "Are you designing the zygote from scratch? Actually, this would be a real test for optimizing..." "Really?" Elaine Garlow says archly, cutting off Elaine Astolat. "I don't think so, dear." And walks out of the lab. "This is Guinevar," Elaine Garlow announces to them, She will help you with everything you need regarding the Lancelot template. Elaine Corbinick had been prepared to dislike Gwenifar intensely. However, confronted with the clone herself, she can't help but admire Gwenifar's compact, self-possessed frame, her dark hair neatly pulled back into a bun. Next to her, Elaine Corbinick feels like she's all gangly arms and legs, everything slightly askew. It doesn't help to know that the other Elaines must, by definition, look pretty much the same way. "Of course," Elaine Garlow is saying, "you will all work together on this project, but I think it makes sense to appoint one of you to be the technical lead, to work more closely with the Lancelot template and report progress to me." "Great," Elaine Corbinick thinks. Another reason for her and her clones to envy and distrust the others. Especially her, as she won't be chosen to be the tech lead. She knows that. Elaine Benwick is the best at gene mod work. Elaine Ostolat is more brilliant. "I should be the lead on this," Elaine Ostolat interrupts her thoughts. "Look, taking a more computational approach to the entire question could really lead to some interesting developments. We could even start down the road of self-optimizing biological processes." "That's nice, dear," Elaine Garlow murmurs, her lip curling scornfully, and points to Elaine Corbinick, who looks at her questioningly. "The lead will be Elaine Corbinick." "Wait, what just happened?" Gwenifar is stepping to her. "It's lovely to meet you, Elaine Corbinick," she says in a friendly tone. Elaine Corbinick smiles back at her, dazzled. "Now wait, didn't you even listen to me?" Elaine Ostolat starts to protest. Elaine Benwick runs out of the room. Gwenifar blinks. "It's not because Elaine Garlow thinks you're such a great scientist, you know," Elaine Benwick says to her the next day, arms crossed. Elaine Corbinick breathes in, breathes out. "It's not like it would be nice to have a little validation in this lab once in a while." Breathe in, breathe out. She will not hit E. Benwick, as she might have done when she was younger. She will not yell at E. Benwick, as E. Ostolat probably would. Then E. Benwick would know she had won. She will not engage. But she can't leave the lab right now, not when she's monitoring the cell washes, and E. Benwick knows this. The older clone smiles tightly. "It's only because Elaine Garlow thinks you're the least likely to rebel against her." E. Corbinick gapes at her, despite her resolve not to show any reaction. But wouldn't you be the choice in that case?" E. Benwick's mouth crimps. "Before you joined the lab, Elaine Garlow chose me to work on the Lancelot template. It was my project." Her chin juts out. "And it was good work, too, you'll see. The Lancelot template is widely regarded as the best in the field." E. Corbinick can see the remnants of a pride she thought E. Benwick had never had. It scares her that the glimpse of the younger Benwick she sees is so atypical, that this other person is buried so deeply. Will this be E. Corbinick a few years from now? "Elaine Garlow, thought I was getting too cocky about it. She took Lancelot away from me. Gave it to Guinevere, in fact." The implanted zygote doesn't even exist yet, and she can't imagine someone taking it away from her while she's still working on it, while it's still only half finished. How could she take it away? How could you let her interrupt all the processes? E. Benwick makes an impatient gesture. "I sent along full instructions to the Guinevere lab, so the processes were hardly interrupted. But I had to let her." She mimics a heel grinding something underfoot. E. Corbinick cringes. Of course Elaine Garlow would think nothing of destroying the Lancelot template's zygote if E. Benwick crossed her. Of course E. Benwick had given the template zygote up, rather than let all her work be annihilated. It would be an impossible situation to be in. E. Corbinick can see that. If it had been E. Corbinick's zygote. She shudders. Still, how could she? Ipanuik looks away. There is old hurt in her voice and a hint of malice as she says, I noticed you looking at Gwenifer. I haven't, Elaine Korbnik says. Has she? You can't fool me, Ibenoek says scornfully. I'm your clone. Elaine's are drawn to Guinevere's, you know. Elaine Garlow has been in love with Guinevere Leodegrant since they were in school together, and she thought. Well, like I said, the Lancelot template was good work. She thought Guinevere might be impressed by it. E. Korbinek is fascinated, in spite of herself. She's never thought of Elaine Garlow as wanting to impress anyone, certainly not as a woman in love. Did it work? E. Benowick laughs bitterly. What do you think? No, of course not. Guinevere said, oh, hey, thanks, I appreciate getting such great genetic material, though she's never used it for making a zygote. I think something in the Guinevere genetics doesn't work right with templates. She's never succeeded with her homegrown Arthur template either. E. Benowick's lip curls. And then Guinevere started an affair with Morgan, which must have rankled even more, I imagine. E. Korbinek knows, at least, about the rivalry between the Morgan and Elaine sisters, both professionally and personally. But she didn't know about this part of it until now. So it was all for nothing, E. Benowick says, with emphasis. My dear. Except that the Lancelot template exists, E. Korbinek thinks, but does not say, and that she, Elaine Korbinek, is going to make something amazing from it. Every geneticist, she knows, thinks that way about her zygotes. Maybe this one will be special. And yet, the Elaine genetic material, as much as Elaine Garlow hates her clones, is quite good, and if the Lancelot template is as good as all that, why not? E. Astolat is smiling, looking into Gwenifer's eyes, when E. Korbinek walks into the lab. E. Korbinek knows that look. It's the one she sees in the mirror when she thinks about Gwenifer. She hates E. Benowick for recognizing it before she did. Oh, I don't mind that much not being tech lead, E. Astolat says easily. Too easily, E. Korbinek thinks. I did really want to get this project going in a more algorithmic direction, but, well. And Elaine Korbinek has to report directly to Elaine Garlow, which I don't think I could handle. She sighs. Sometimes I feel like I'm living in a perpetual storm. Gwenifer snorts. Only sometimes. I've only been here a couple of days, and it seems like that all the time to me. It's very different in the Guinevere lab, let me tell you. E. Korbinek can believe it. Gwenifer's poise, her calm, are so different from what E. Korbinek is used to in E. Astolat or E. Benwick. Or herself. I have this picture in my head, says E. Astolat dreamily, of a boat, an empty boat, floating on the water, floating down a broad stream among willowy hills and fields, something so different from what I have here. E. Korbinek has never known E. Astolat to wax so poetic, and is not sure whether to be embarrassed or annoyed by it. She clears her throat loudly. E. Astolat turns to her, still smiling. Elaine Korbinek, hey, we were just talking about... I heard you, E. Korbinek mutters ungraciously. She doesn't know what else to say. There is a pause, and then E. Astolat starts, in a businesslike tone, talking about computational modeling. It isn't until much later that she realizes that E. Astolat knew she was there the whole time. E. Korbinek has to spend a lot of time with the Lancelot template, not only to take samples of various bodily fluids, but also to get a sense of how he moves, how he thinks, so that she can give it to E. Astolat's programs to factor in the various genetic components. He is attractive, and he moves like a dancer, like a warrior, but her verdict so far on how he thinks is boring. Although he scores at the top percentiles on all the physical and intellectual tests she gives him, E. Korbenik has to admit that E. Benwick did good work with him. He doesn't seem to have anything he's interested in. Nothing that she can talk to him about while setting up the treadmill or the hand-eye game testing. In desperation, she asks him what he does when he's not undergoing testing. "Oh, but that's never the case," he says, blinking at her. "I'm always training my mind or my body for my Lady Guinevere, always, in case she has need of me. I have a calisthenics regime." Elaine Korbenik realizes, incredulously, that he's telling her about his exercise program, as if she could care any less than she actually does. She says, interrupting his stream of chatter about the virtues of interval training versus endurance training. "Yes. Well, that's all I need you for today. You can run off now." It's hard not to treat him as if he's a small boy sometimes. "Okay, I'll go find my Lady Guinevere. Perhaps she'll have something for me to do," he says hopefully. He wanders off, a shy, winsome look on his face. Elaine Korbenik brings it up the next time she sees Guinevere. "The Lancelot template, she doesn't quite know how to put it. "He seems a little obsessed with you and your clone family." Guinevere sighs. "Yes, I know. He was conditioned to be absolutely loyal to my progenitor, a new technique one of my clone sisters came up with. It can become a little wearisome after a while. Don't worry about it. It's just something you have to put up with." "Don't you..." She doesn't know how to phrase it. "Doesn't it bother you? The way that he doesn't have any choices besides being there for you?" She wishes she could talk to Guinevere without stammering. Guinevere raises an eyebrow. "This matters to you?" "Yes. No." E. Korbenik cares, but she doesn't understand why she cares so much. Why would it make any difference to her whether or not the Lancelot template can choose its own destiny? "I just think," E. Korbenik says stubbornly, "that it would be better." She thinks of the zygote she is creating. Is that what is in store for her? To never have any control, never have any choices. "It's hard for you," Guinevere says calmly to E. Ostolat and E. Benwick. E. Korbenik is working on tabulating the results of the Lancelot template's tests, pretending not to listen. "I don't know why you Elaines put up with this kind of treatment. Elaine Garlow keeping you in fear, working you like slaves, never listening to anything you say. You're adults, you know." "Elaine Garlow is doing the best she can," E. Benwick snaps. "We have to put up with it," Elaine Ostolat says blankly. "We're clones." "You know the law. By law, you owe your creator only the labor that went into your making." Guinevere shrugs. "My progenitor is trying to get that changed. She says clones should be treated as any other descendant." She looks kindly at E. Korbenik. "And yes, Elaine Korbenik, I understand what you were saying before. Templates, too, should have legal rights. That would indeed be the Holy Grail, would it not? But she's concentrating on clones for now." Guinevere then says, slowly and distinctly, "My progenitor thinks of us as partners and adults. The clones and I have equal shares in the lab. In fact, she's told all of us that once we have a suitable research program, we can start our own labs." E. Korbenik stops even the pretense of not paying attention. All three Elaine clones stare at Guinevere. "Equal shares? Start their own labs?" Guinevere continues, "But Elaine Ostolat, all of you, have paid for yourselves many times over. I've seen the work you've done. You could leave any time you wanted." "We can't leave," E. Ostolat says. "Fine, it might be legal to leave, but do you really think people are falling over themselves to give work to a clone who's left her clone group? I don't think so. They say, oh, you have to consider the progenitor in these cases, and I'm afraid we don't look favorably on clones apart from their clone group." There is a sharp bitterness in her voice, which surprises E. Korbenik. She had not known that E. Ostolat had gone so far as that. E. Benwick frowns at her. Still, Gwenifar says, her brow furrowed. Your algorithm work, Elaine Ostolat, it's as good as anything I've ever seen. Any lab would be glad to have your talent, I would think. The door of the lab slams shut. E. Korbnik jumps and sees Elaine Garlow standing in front of the door, arms folded. She's known for years that she needs to keep glancing at the door in case Elaine Garlow decides to visit the lab. And yet she didn't, and neither did Elaine Ostolat. She wonders how much of that Elaine Garlow heard. Enough, it seems. Elaine Garlow informs them all the next day that Gwenifar is leaving. Has already left, in fact. The Lancelot template will be staying briefly, but once his tests are over he will go back to the Guinevere's. He looks gloomy. Elaine Benwick smirks.
You're going to free-hand the chromosomal micromanipulation?
Elaine Ostolat says, her voice rising on the last word.
No automatic optimization at all? That's just asking for trouble.
I didn't remember asking your opinion, Elaine Garlow says, deceptively mildly. Elaine Benwick is not disguising her interest in the conversation. Elaine Korbnik concentrates on her gene mod samples and tries to pretend she doesn't exist. If she just thinks about the zygote, her precious zygote.
That's it, Elaine Ostolat says. Gwenifar was right. You treat us terribly. You don't listen to me. You're forcing Elaine Korbnik to do this in a stupid way.
Elaine Korbnik can't help but agree with that.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Elaine Benwick gasps. Elaine Garlow frowns.
What do you mean you don't want to do this?
Elaine Garlow snaps, her lip curling.
Heavens, child, what else is there?
Do you care? Elaine Ostolat says, her eyes hard and cold.
I quit.
You can't quit, says Elaine Benwick, looking horrified. We're all a clone family lab.
Not anymore, says Elaine Ostolat. Elaine Ostolat is dumping a bunch of code chips into a bag. E. Korbnik is just amazed that Elaine Garlow didn't throw her out of an airlock after that last scene. She says, Elaine Ostolat.
Don't call me Elaine anymore, E. Ostolat says. I quit. I'm not part of this lab group. I'm not an Elaine now. Call me Ostolat if you have to call me anything.
Okay, Elaine Korbnik says. There is a silence. What are you going to do now, Ostolat? Elaine Ostolat, smiles. Elaine Korbnik realizes with a jolt that she can't remember the last time the older clone smiled. I've been talking to Gwenifar, she says. We're going to start our own lab together. Got some ideas. Well, you probably know them already. I really think this could work out.
I'm glad for you, says Elaine Korbnik.
She doesn't know what else to say. She feels a strange mixture of envy and guilt. Part of her thinks, stupidly, that Elaine Ostolat should feel worse about it all than she does.
Hey, says Ostolat.
She comes and takes Elaine Korbnik's hands. Elaine Korbnik remembers that she used to be very affectionate, back when Elaine Korbnik was a little clone in the creche nursery, and Ostolat used to teach her coding and network protocols. It's not the end of the world, you know. E. Korbnik doesn't know.
I'm sorry about, well, everything, she says.
Don't be, says Ostolat. Listen, you could come with me, you know. She looks at E. Korbnik. It's too late for Elaine Benwick, I think. But you, if you wanted, she could come with Ostolat. She lets herself think about it for a moment. To be free of Elaine Garlow, of her lab, and all of her works, including her zygote. She hasn't even finished designing her yet, and she thinks of the zygote as a her, not an it. She's even given her a name. Galahad. She can't leave Galahad. Not when she knows that if she leaves, she's consigning Galahad, her very existence, to Elaine Garlow and Elaine Benwick.
I can't leave, she says miserably. I'm not finished.
Astolat nods, looking unsurprised. She pulls Elaine Korbenick by the hand. After an uncomfortable half-second of grappling, Elaine Korbenick realizes she means to give her a hug, which she hasn't done since Elaine Korbenick was very young. As Astolat's arms go around her, only somewhat awkwardly, Astolat whispers in her ear, "Biology is possession." After she leaves, Elaine Korbenick rolls around and around in her palm the code chip that Astolat put in it. Astolat is barely mentioned again, ever, in the lab. E. Benwick never talks about her.
I suppose she's still publishing here and there, in third-rate journals.
Elaine Korbenick hears Elaine Garlow drawl at a vid colloquium to Morgan and Guinevere.
She publishes without the Elaine name, even.
Elaine Garlow shakes her head.
I told her and told her, without it, who will listen to her? But clones, you know how they can be.
She trails off. Guinevere looks amused, a look Elaine Korbenick remembers distinctly from Gwenifar, a look that makes Elaine Korbenick's heart twist up a little in spite of herself.
How terrible for you, really, my dear, Morgan murmurs silkily to her sister,
her lip curled up in a way that Elaine Korbenick has seen before. Elaine Korbenick wonders, suddenly, what Morgan's clone is like, and what it was like for Morgan and Elaine Garlow growing up.
I mean, Elaine Garlow says, looking at Guinevere, it seems to me that Astolat practically committed scientific reputation suicide.
E. Korbenick got one message from Astolat afterwards. Not even a message, but a picture. A boat floating down a river. E. Korbenick looks at it now and then. She feels an odd sense of loss when she does, as if her clone sister were drifting farther and farther away. Elaine Korbenick has all the genetic coding information she needs from the Lancelot template. Biology is possession. She knows she has to be very careful here.
Lancelot, do you give permission for me to use your genetic material for the zygote I'm going to make?
Me. Not Elaine. Not the Elaines. Not Elaine Garlow.
Well, yes, of course, Lancelot says, looking confused. It is a common look for him.
My lady said,
okay, she hastily interjects, not wanting this to get into yet another discussion of how wonderful and amazing his lady is. Will the zygote she is creating be conditioned to be like him, in thrall to the progenitor? Or will the zygote simply be subject to everything the Elaine clones are? Which would be worse, after all? Her heart aches. She tries not to think about that. She tries not to think about anything much, lest it show in her voice and Elaine Garlow take notice.
Sign this.
It's the standard form for genetic rights transferal, but she's modified the wording so that the rights transfer to her, Elaine Korbenick, not the Elaine group as a whole. She can't resist one last question.
Lancelot, do you ever wish you could be your own person, apart from the Guinevere's?
Lancelot is puzzled. But who would I be apart from my lady and her clones?
Who indeed, she says, sighing. I think that's all, Lancelot. You'll be able to go back to the Guinevere lab now.
Lancelot looks very relieved. E. Korbenick has run all of Lancelot's information through Astolat's algorithms, surreptitiously, when Elaine Garlow and E. Benwick aren't looking. She hasn't made the zygote yet. She keeps putting Elaine Garlow off with excuses, with tests she needs to double-check, but her progenitor is getting impatient and suspicious. She can't keep it up much longer. Whenever she thinks of making the zygote, she thinks of Elaine Astolat. Astolat's closed, angry face. She thinks of Elaine Benwick standing close to Elaine Garlow. She thinks of her blank face in the mirror. For Galahad's sake. Biology is possession. She's done some research on her own, and now she knows what Astolat meant. What Astolat told her, trusting that her clone sister would understand. An engineered zygote is, legally, the descendant of those who have contributed the genetic information and who have designed the zygote, unless they have signed those rights away. Galahad will be the descendant of Lancelot, who has signed his rights to her, and of E. Corbinick, who will use her genetic information. Which is identical to E. Garlow's, of course, but the law does not care about that. She will carefully record all the transferal of genetic information, making sure to document that it is all directly from her, Elaine Corbinick. She will contact Astolat and Gwenifar. Astolat taught her enough that she thinks she can get through Elaine Garlow's network security measures. She will leave. Perhaps she will join Astolat in Gwenifar's lab, as Astolat invited her to. Perhaps she will do something else entirely. There will be battles, she knows, with Elaine Garlow. But she will fight for Galahad. Galahad, her child. With the Lancelot template's superior performance and the Elaine genetic material, coupled with Astolat's optimizing algorithms, it will be interesting to see what becomes of her Galahad, the child of a clone and of a template, yet with an optimized genome superior to those with greater legal and societal rights. She laughs, thinking of something Gwenifar once said. She says aloud, "Perhaps Galahad will achieve the Holy Grail." The end.